We're learning Tshuva Dichavedad. We're in Chelek Bet Siman Yud Gimel, a second Tshuva about Birkat Kohanim. The question is asked a particular way. The topic is, do the Kohanim have to really remove their shoes before they do Birkat Kohanim? We know the Kohanim take off their shoes before Birkat Kohanim. Now the question he was asked is as follows. Kohanim shenim naim la'alot la'duchan me'beref Birkat Kohanim, v'vnei shekasher lehem l'achlos min aleihem asher b'ragleihem. You have Kohanim who don't want to go up because they can't take off their shoes. It's too annoying. It's too difficult. So therefore, they're stepping outside. No, without the shoes. So he's saying no.
No, with the shoes.
So, you know, the Syrians in Brooklyn do it, but he's going to tell you not to in a minute. But they do. Rav David Cohen, he's there. He says not to. But
Yeah, correct. We're there.
This is the tshuva. So he said, but the question wasn't, should you go up without shoes? Was, I have Kohanim who don't want to take off their shoes, so they don't want to go up. What's the din? Where does it come from? So the Gemara in Sota, and the Gemara in Rishim, it's one of the takanot Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, Kohanim have to do Birkat Kohanim without shoes, like they did in the Beit HaMikdash, without shoes, so too Birkat Kohanim without shoes. Now the Gemara says, why? It gives two very, very, very strange reasons. It does not say Zecher LaMikdash. It gives you two, admittedly, somewhat strange reasons. The first is, well, the Kavod HaTzibur. Kavod HaTzibur. Take off your shoes. Rashi explains, because they're going to lift their hands up like this. They're going to stand like this. They're not wearing pants. They're wearing some other type of a robe. When you lift up your hands, so then the bottom gets lifted up a little bit. People are going to see their shoes and they're dirty, so they don't want to see the dirty shoes. The second reason, maybe if he's wearing, it says sandal, but the leather strap or something, and then while he's doing Birkat Kohanim or laces, he'll have to deal with it. And so all the Kohanim are going to be standing up, and he's going to be on the floor adjusting his laces. Everyone's going to see, oh, you know why he's not doing Birkat Kohanim? He's not doing Birkat Kohanim because he's Pasula Kuna. His mother was a Grusha, his mother was a Chalutza. They're going to be Mosilas on this guy. Because he's bending down to fix his laces in the middle of Birkat Kohanim. So therefore, we don't want him to have any shoes, so he doesn't have the problem with the laces, so he doesn't bend down, so people will not mosilas on him. Yeah. Two reasons in the Gemara. Not what I would have expected.
How is this different from somebody claiming that it's too cold for him to roll up the sleeve for putting on tefillin, so they put the tefillin over their shirt?
Yeah. Again, it sounds like to me that this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai making a takana and then finding a reason later to base it on. It sounds like he wanted this to be the din, but he found the reason. First of all, you see from here something important. You can look at the Kohanim. Meaning you're not allowed to look at the Kohanim's hands. That you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to look at the Kohanim's hands. Why? We'll see in a minute. Tosfos says you can. You're not allowed to look at the Kohanim's hands because the Shekhinah comes through their hands. So the Beit Yosef already writes that nowadays we cover ourselves with a talit, no problem. If you hear Shabbat Dmei Minyan Rav Shechter, he was here, he spoke after Musaf, so he came in a couple of minutes before to get Birkat Kohanim, because they don't do it. So he stands right in front of them, staring at, because they're covering, it's not a problem. We'll see Tosfot in a minute, says even if they're not covering, it's a problem. So you see these two reasons, you have to take off your shoes. So they say, yeah, there's a tshuva of Rabbi Yoshua Prachia, calling it tshuva, Vayikra Yoshua. He says, wait a minute, what if they're standing on the floor? This is a duchan. Normally, you call it la'alot la'duchan. They stand on something higher. Right? What if they stand on the floor? Are you still worried about the shoes? He says, no, you don't have to be worried about it. You can wear shoes when you're standing on the karka. Why? No one really... The problem when they stand and they're lifting the bottom of the robe or whatever comes up and people see the shoes, that they're dirty, is only when they're standing high up. If they're standing on the ground, nobody's looking. And for whatever reason, he also says, we're not concerned about his shoes ripping, whatever, if he's standing on the ground. I'm not really sure why your laces aren't going to come out when you're on the ground versus on the duchan, but the concern doesn't apply.
Also, the seniors don't have the dirty shoes because they're rich. They have good shoes.
Okay. But I mean, it could be dirty outside. But so he assumes that, he says, why? He says, when gam latam shemati pasek ritzua betzandolo shayach davka ba'aliyatio laduchan. We're concerned if he has to climb up, so then laces are going to become undone. But if he's standing on the ground, the reasons in the Gemara don't apply, and therefore, it's not a problem. He says, okay, but that's generally not how we do things. You know, that's generally not how we do things. When Chazal make a takana, We say lo plug rabbanan. Lo plug rabbanan means they made a rule, you stick to the rule. Ah, the reason like this, you play games, you're going to twist your thumb into a pretzel. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't sprain your thumb, we say. Like, takana, lo plug rabbanan. And you see that that's true. Because the Beit Yosef said, well, what about if you're wearing loafers? What about a kohen who's wearing loafers? There's no straps. There's no laces. What about that? You have to take them off? Yep, got to take them. There's no problem, Shemati Pasik Ratsua. Not an issue. You got to take it off, lo plug rabbanan. So maybe here you'll also say lo plug rabbanan, and you're right when you're standing on the karka, you know, there's no reason, it doesn't matter, lo plug. Ravanya writes, no. Because what was the takana? The takana was the language, she'ena kohanim rasha'im la'alot b'sandelehem la'duchan. That's what the takana was. The takana was, if they're doing berakat kohanim from a duchan, then they cannot go up with shoes. He says, but you see, that if they're not standing on the duchan, they don't have to take, they're allowed to stay with their shoes. He doesn't quote this, but it's Tshuva of the Radvaz, who says, no, so we'll tell him in a moment. He says, what, before we get to that. So, first of all, do you need a duchan? The Gemara refers to it as Aliyah LaDuchan. Do you need a duchan, or can the Kohen stand on the ground? Can he be on the ground, or does he have to stand on something elevated? He says, Ravadi proves, Aliyah LaDuchan is just the best way to do it. But if there's no duchan, they want to stand on the ground, not a problem at all. You don't have to stand on the duchan. Now, in the Beit HaMikdash, they did. In the Beit HaMikdash, they stood on a higher level, and that's why we do it in a similar way. Why? So he quotes, why? When the Kohanim do Birkat Kohanim, so the Shekhinah comes onto their hands, so the Chavad HaShekhinah, they stand higher up. Tosfot already points out, nowadays that doesn't apply. Tosfot says, nowadays, that's only in the Beit HaMikdash. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there was Shekhinah on their hands. Nowadays, there's no Shekhinah on their hands, and Tosfot says you're allowed to look. Tosfot says you're allowed to look. Now, in the time of Tosfot, the Kohanim did not cover themselves with a talit. That's later. The Beit Yosef writes that practice developed in his time.
In Europe?
And then the Beit Yosef writes that the Minhag developed in his time to cover themselves with a talit.
No. Where did
Kohanim
do
Kohanim
in Europe?
Yeah, on Yom Tov. Ashkenazim did it on Yom Tov. Right? But they would do it without a talit. They would just stand like this. Just stand their hands out. So Tosfos says you're allowed to look. Because there's no, the Shekhinah is not as much when the Beit HaMikdash was there. So then there was Shekhinah. But nowadays not. Now we don't follow that. But the Beit Yosef says nowadays the practice is the Kohanim covers, the Beit Yosef is telling the practice in his time, in Tzfat, in the 1500s. They would cover themselves with a talit, which seems to be the universal practice now, and so certainly there's no problem to look. But you see that these issues don't apply, and he says, therefore, there's no problem. He can stand on the ground. La'alot la'duchan is not a problem. The Radvaz seems to think it is, but okay. He has a quote him. He proves otherwise that it's not, and therefore it's not an issue. Quotes many, many poskim who say if there's no duchan, you don't have to go up. Or if there's no reason to go up, you don't want to go up, you don't have to. Nonetheless, that's the way it's ideally supposed to be done. If you look by the kotel, so there's no duchan. Ah, they have tefillah there all the time. They have these little benches. They have these little pieces of wood. That's like a little step stool. It's like 2 inches high. That's for the Kohanim. Who want to take off their shoes. They want to stand on it. That way it's a duchan. They could be machmir for this opinion. For the Kohanim, they'll stand on it for a birkat Kohanim. It just has to be a little bit more elevated. But mi'ikar adin, it's not necessary. And since it's not necessary, he says that if the Kohanim, who want to not take off the shoes, want to stand on the ground, they have what to rely on. He quotes Rabbi Eliyahu Chazan, the Av Beit Din of Alexandria in Morocco, in Egypt, that was the minag. The Kohanim there did not always take off the shoes. And we should ask Albert, his father's... In Baghdad?
In Baghdad,
fascinating. Okay, he doesn't quote that. I don't doubt it, but interesting. He would have quoted. I don't know why I didn't quote it. Interesting. But I know the Ben Yishchai writes now you should.
Yeah.
Now you definitely should. The Maskana of Ben Yishchai is you should. He writes in Mitzrayim, the Minhag was not. So he says, and I'll just quote you the language, meaning he's not saying you should do this. He's saying, look, you're presenting me with the following scenario. A guy doesn't want to do Birkat Kohanim unless he can stay his shoes on. He'll miss out. Yesterday we pointed out, he's missing out on three mitzvot asay. Kotev Archu, Amor Lahem, Besamot Shmi. So he's going to walk out. He'll never do Birkat Kohanim. There won't be Birkat Kohanim. If there won't be Birkat Kohanim without him, so certainly he should do it on the grounds with his shoes on. However, it's much better. It's better to take them off. That's the appropriate way to do it. However, if there's no other choice, this guy's not going to be part of the mitzvah at all. He can't take it off, whatever reason. So then you allow him to go up. It's not me'akev. It's not me'akev as long as you're standing on the ground. That's not me'akev. Standing is me'akev. You can't stand on your own. That's me'akev. You can't do Birkat Kohanim. He says shoes is not, and therefore if a Kohen insists on wearing shoes for whatever reason, certainly be standing on the ground, on the karka, not Badukhan. So then we allow him to go up, and we should teach him that, you know, next time we're, you know, maybe we should buy him better shoes, maybe we should chip in, help him out, buy him loafers, buy Crocs, buy something. But the Dina is not me'akev.